Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's read the scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. And this is the confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit. Right? Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. He said, you know, this is the confidence I intend to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit. The word benefit is the word charis, means grace. The word grace has a meaning of benefit. That means when I come to you, you're going to benefit the second time. The second time he plans to go there. Verse 16, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and to be helped by you on the way to Judea. So he said, I go to Macedonia, I come back to you again, and you benefit twice. You come to church, this church, you will benefit. Amen. Because grace of God is here. And you come to church, it will benefit you. Paul said, I come again, be helped by you on my way to Judea. The word help, it means to send forth. I come to you so that you can send me to Judea. To accompany, to help means to accompany, to assist with provision for my next leg of my journey. That means I come to you, you help me with my next leg of my journey. That means I'm going to Judea, you help me, right? Paul was very direct. So what kind of provision was needed by Paul to continue his missionary journey? Finances and other things needed to help him travel safely and comfortably back to Judea. Amen. Let's pray over the tithes and offering. Father, we thank you for blessing us. We thank you. We bring our tithes as worship unto you, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Thank you for blessing the remaining that we have. We thank you, Father, that the seed that we bring, that so we sow, that you shall multiply back to us not many days hence. We thank you for thy word is always true and never returns void. In Jesus' name, everyone say, amen. Today, I want to talk to you about stand firm and testify of his grace. Last week, I spoke to you. You know, I told you last week, I got a message on Tuesday, 4 a.m. in the morning. God gave me a message, and the message titled, we live by the spirit of grace and supplication. Amen. I guess he wants me to go and teach in these aspects, you know. Right? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, recap some of the scriptures that we went through last week. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplication. Paul's deliverance from death was by the spirit of grace and spirit of supplication. We studied that. Paul said, in the past I was delivered, now God's going to deliver me. In the future he will continue to deliver me. But you, the church in Greece, help me through your prayer that I may receive the charisma, that is a gift of grace. This is where the charismatic church got the name from, charismatic, charisma. Amen. He said, you know, you help me that I was delivered through your prayer and I received the gift of grace through prayer. And there is the grace that is released for desperate situation will never come except through prayer. In fact, there are five channels through which grace is released. One is, of course, the word of God. Secondly, it's through prayer. Amen. Many a times, and because of certain situation, nothing works except through prayer. And the gift of grace was given for that situation. Right? And Paul said, I was delivered by the gift of grace. Right? That means it wasn't because God delivered him, preserved his life, so that, Paul, I need you to write half the New Testament. Paul, you haven't finished your missionary journey. No. Grace means unearned, undeserved. And now I use the word undeserved. In the past, I don't like to use the word undeserved. As a child of God, I deserve his grace. But sometimes certain things we do, actually we don't deserve his grace. But yet he gives us his grace. That's when undeserved grace comes. Amen. Of course, you know, as a child of God, we deserve everything that's of the Father. I don't know about you. He made me righteous, made me holy. Jesus died for me. You're telling me I'm worthy and I deserve his grace. But there are certain things that we do because we are imperfect. So certain things we do we get caught in certain situation, we don't deserve his grace, but we still have his grace. Because the grace is released unconditionally through prayer when you're in dire needs, you know. Amen. When you're so desperate over your life, and He just gave you the grace, not because of who you are, but because through prayer of the church. Amen. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is our sovereign protector. The Lord bestow favor. Another meaning of grace means favor, right? Favor. He bestowed favor on you, and favor is a force. It's a spiritual force that influences you. And when you have the grace of God, the favor on you, you influence others to give you favor. They just like you, right? Amen. But He bestowed favor and honor. Not only that, when He put His grace on you, He influenced you, you receive honor also. And He withhold no good things on those who walk, those who have integrity. You do business, you better have integrity. Okay? Else you get in trouble, don't pray. Prayer won't work. Right? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. We have depended on the grace of God, Paul said, not on our own human wisdom, that is how we have conducted ourselves before the world and especially towards you. We have not depended on ourselves, but we have depended on the grace of God. Right? Does that mean that Paul did nothing? No. Let's read the next scripture. Paul said, by the grace of God, I have achieved what I have achieved. I am what I am by the grace of God. Then, actually, you reverse this verse. Sometimes the scripture, you need to reverse it and read. And His grace to me has not been in vain. In fact, I work harder than all the apostles. Is that boasting? Yeah, it's okay to boast. When you're boasting, you boast in the Lord and His grace. That's okay. Right? When you boast and get obstinate because of your pride, you are in trouble. I work harder than all of them. But the grace of God with me, He worked harder. In other words, the 12 apostles of the Lamb did not work as hard as Paul. Paul said, I work harder than all of them. All, no. He didn't say most of them. He didn't say some of them. All. How he knew? And the Holy Spirit had him write the scriptures. Right? He said, I work harder. I depend on the grace of God. I work harder than I achieve what I achieve, and I am what I am by the grace of God. I work harder by the grace of God. So you make so much money, so successful, it's because of you, lah. You work so hard that you have to work hard. Right? God opened the door for you. You need to study hard. Amen? God give you an opportunity. You better lay hold of the opportunity and don't fool around. Right? Especially if you want to study criminology, you avoid places like bars and all that and get in trouble. You don't want to study criminology and you break the law, correct or not? Right? Makes sense? Right? Avoid those places. Right? Amen? You study criminology and then you go there, you go in the bar and you get into trouble because, you know, there's a fight there and then you got arrested by the police. Then you come back, you got a record. So you avoid. Right or not? Amen? Paul said, I work harder. Right? And by the grace of God, I achieve what I achieve means I am what I am. No? Then before that, we read, I depend on the grace of God. Right? So, charis is translated, means grace, translated means unearned, undeserved, unconditional favor and an influence. Charisma, right, means it translated as the gift of grace, a favor which one received without any merit of his own. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, where Paul said, you know, I was delivered from death. As you also join in helping us by your prayer, so that many people will give thanks to God on our behalf because I got delivered, many of you give thanks because you prayed for me, right? You prayed for me, you will give thanks on the behalf of the gracious gift. This word gracious gift is exactly the Greek word charisma, which charismatic use it for charismatic church. This charisma, great gift of grace, came by you helping us by prayer. He wrote, not to one church, he wrote the whole Achaia, that's Greece. Helping us through, many of you help us, we receive the gift of grace. Amen. Now, let's go. So, grace is an influencing force, right? It means favor, influence, opposed to force. God does not force us to do something. He influences us. The grace of God is an influencing force. It influences us to make the right decision. When you make the right decision, of course, you know, sometimes you do take into consideration of certain natural knowledge. Look at the fact, you know, the environment. It's not because you look at the fact you make the right decision. Because of the grace of God has been influencing you and seeing the right thing, oh, they make the right decision. So then after a while, you relegate it to say, no, because, you know, because of certain things, I make such decision. Hey, hello. When the grace of God influences you and you make the right decision, no disaster. You think you're right. You make the right decision, right? But let me tell you another situation that I shared last week before. Two church camp ago, I spoke the word supernatural grace to bear the burden. And Calvin got married. June spoke the word. He got married. Last year, he had a son. He went through a very difficult time. Now when he looked back, man, that was supernatural grace of God. Yeah, when you go through a crisis, the grace, you will recognize the grace of God. But recognize the grace of God when things are fine. Everything is going on well in your life. Understand? Just because you do well, your children do well, then it's not the grace of God. That's because you make some right decision, is it? So grace is an influencing force. Many times we do not recognize it was the Father's grace at work influencing your life, influencing you, making the right decision. Right now. So sometimes every year your business, big profit, good profit, you think it's your decision, you know. God has been influencing force, been influencing you to making the right decision among some of the wrong decisions. Then you think it's because of the environment, because of the product presented to me, I made the right decision. You can say anything about me. You touch the glory of God, the honor of God, you get it straight for me in this church. When we came back from Raymond Bible Training College, USA, we started pastoring. We were staying in a HDB executive apartment. You know why I applied for the biggest HDB flat? My mentality is, for life, I'll stay in HDB. Must apply for the biggest one. I'm going to stay for life. Correct? That was my mentality. One day, I told my wife, "Say, let's renovate the two toilets, like hotel toilet. We're going to stay for life. Must renovate the two toilets." You know what she said? Sell the HDB flat. I said, I just asked, at that time, she said, "Sell, were you thinking of buying some condo?" He said, "No." I just said, "Sell." I got more faith than her, but she said, "Sell the HDB." I was thinking of staying in the HDB for life. Pastor, what? You're not a businessman, not a lawyer, not a doctor. Stay in the HDB for life, lah. Right? But aren't you glad that my God is different? I mean, and how come she thought of selling the HDB, suddenly, she said, "Sell the HDB." And I said, "Okay, let me pray about it first." There was an influencing force, an influencer, say, "Sell." Then I didn't violently object. I said, "Okay," and I said, "Let's pray." Right now. Then we sold. Right. Bought a 30-year-old freehold apartment. Walk up 4-level, no lift. Every time we travel to the U.S., come back, 2 big luggage, you guess who carry up? The man in the house, lah. I think you ask the wife carry up, Right now, grocery. Until you can't tahan, what you do? Prayer. And the place supposed to go on block. No? And you know, on block, you better pray, man. You have some greedy fellas down there, you're not going to go on block. I pray. I take authority over the devil. I command the devil, you stop it, man. And God gave me a figure, right? And I bought. Others waited. 6 months later, the price all went up. I just bought. So because I'm so smart in making decisions, no. The Father wants to bless me beyond my imagination. He influenced us to make him be my wife. He know you, this guy, think of HDB for life. So influence my wife, right? Yeah. So I was wondering, pastor must be staying HDB, right? Hey, hello, God has a way. Second example, someone was telling me, he just feel that staying in this apartment, don't feel like staying in this apartment anymore. I said, the grace of God has been lifted. That's how he influenced us. He just said, I just don't feel like staying here anymore. Then I said, God seems like he's lifting his grace for you to stay in this place. He'd been looking. He said, I just don't feel like staying here anymore. God is lifting his grace. Recognize the grace of God working in your life. Many a time he put his grace upon you. Sometime he lived. It's time to move on when he lived. Live his grace. Amen. Testify of his grace. After receiving Father's grace and his benefit, the scripture encourages us to testify of his grace. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. So testimony means witness and evidence. The word of their testimony. Testimony means their word giving witness and evidence of what God has done, God's grace has done. Amen. By testifying the word of your testimony, by testifying the word of your testimony, help you to overcome the devil, because the life and death lies in the power of the tongue. When we share, we release the power of God, keeps our mind stayed on him and the victory. It will keep the devil from putting doubt and unbelief into our mind. That's why I said, you know, right? Don't relegate your success to your own because you happen to be there, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Submit to God, resist the devil. Likewise, you young people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. You know how I teach this verse? Grace is unconditional. He said, give grace to the humble. You should give to the proud. Unconditional what? Right or not? Nobody deserves it. So proud. Give it to them. God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the proud. Okay? But the humble could receive. The proud could not. Right? So, he gives grace to both, to the humble and proud. But the proud cannot receive. That's why he only can only give grace to the humble. Right on. Amen. Now, all of us ought to be proud of our achievement, proud of our country, proud of whatever you have. But the kind of pride is not the obstinate kind of pride that you're so proud that, you know, nobody can talk to you. You're so proud, you know, you look down on others. There are two kinds of pride. We ought to be proud. We ought to be proud of our children who have done well. We ought to be proud of God that we serve, that he has guided us all along, has blessed us, right? But we should not be proud until you become some obstinate, no, stubborn, you won't listen to anybody else, as if you know it all. Excuse me, young people, you don't know it all, okay? There are things you learn through experience you'll never know. You understand? I don't care how smart you are. Amen? Right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares. When you humble, you can release all your cares. If you're always anxious about everything, check out on your pride. Because you are the one who must go and handle and solve every problem. Right? When you cannot solve, then you don't have it your way, then you say, not fair. You're not going to have it your way, okay? You understand? You're not going to have everything your way in life because others are not going to give it to you. Right? Humble yourself so that you can cast all your care and your anxieties and worries and your stress. I don't know why somebody having stress. Sometimes I can feel it here. You know. For a while, I don't sense it. Just now, I kind of sense a bit. I'm not too sure. I forgot. If you're feeling stress, you can feel it here. It's not me. I'm not stressed. I can sense it. If somebody has stress, I can sense it here. Right? Then, how come I cannot cast my care unto the Lord? Check out on your pride. There you say, humble yourself so that you may cast all your cares unto him, for he cares for you. Right? If he cares for you, why you worry? Why you worry the next meal, where it comes from? Why you worry about your future, your children's future? Right? But say, be sober, be vigilant. Why you humble yourself first? You don't get anxious, be in anxiety. Secondly, more important, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If he can devour everyone, he does not need to seek. He seek, who does he seek to devour? The those who does not humble themselves before the mighty hands of God. Because you did it, ma. You achieved, ma. They will wipe you off. You get scammed, everything. You lost everything. Right? Humble yourself before the mighty hands of God. Cast all your care. Don't worry. Be anxious. Because the devil is looking for you to devour you. You make your million and you can lose it overnight like that, okay? Through years, you make your millions, the devil wipe you off just like that. Because he's sick, right? Then he said, be sober and be vigilant. Then verse 9, resist him, the devil. You don't humble before the mighty hand of God, you are not able to resist him. Amen? People want to resist the devil. I have the name of Jesus. You don't humble yourself, you cannot resist. You don't have the grace to resist him. What comes with grace is the power of the Holy Ghost. Knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So Peter talked about submission. It involves humility. It takes humility to submit. Say, God give grace to the humble. And people talk about humble. The humble submit to one another. Receive God's grace to resist the devil. The proud will not have this grace to resist. After the humble receive this grace to resist the devil, then Peter said something. Testify of his grace. Verse 9. Verse 12. 1 Peter. Through Silvanus. Now, see 1 Peter chapter 5. Whom I know to be a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly in order to encourage you and testify that this is truly the grace of God. Testify of his grace. Now, this is verse 12. Now, we read just verse 5 to verse 10, all about humble yourself. Right? Submit to your elders. Submit to one another. Right? Humble yourself before the mighty hands of God. Cast all your cares. Don't worry about what you're worried about this, worry about that. Sometimes your worry come out of your mouth. Like that. When I hear from you direct, I won't tell you direct. I'll speak it on the pulpit. Right? Because here's when I'm anointed. Then he said, humble, be sober and vigilant. Resist the devil because he's the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He does not devour everyone. Now, this whole context about those submission to one another, submit to the elders, submit to one another, humble yourself before the mighty God. He gives grace to the humble, resist the devil. Then after that, say, okay, New Living Translation, you are experienced, what you are experiencing. What do you mean by experience? I told you really what. Young people, there are things you never experience in life. Others, the older ones had. Even those older Christians who may not be as spiritual as you are, they have experienced things in life that you will never experience because you are younger than them. You understand? What you are experiencing is truly the grace of God. Now, this is 1 Peter chapter 5. How about submit to one another, submit to the elder, humble yourself, you receive the grace of God, casting all your care, resist the devil. What you are truly experiencing is the grace of God. Right? And where does it say? New English Translation. And testify that this is true grace of God. Right? And this is the true grace of God that you experience. Stand firm in this grace. What? Testify. Amen. So Peter said, after receiving God's grace and experience successfully resisting the devil, testify of this experience of God's grace. What about your other experience of God's grace that brought you success in life? Then stand firm in this grace. How do you stand firm in this grace? That means when the devil tried to come against you again, stand firm in this authority you have to resist the devil. It is the grace of God. Stand firm and do not waver that the devil must flee from you. We are able to resist the devil because of the grace of God given to us in his name to resist. And the devil must flee. After he flee, stand firm. After he flee, testify of your experience. Likewise, in other cases, we have received answers to our prayer. We have received the grace of God. For that matter, this is truly the grace of God. Because we pray and the Father answers our prayer, don't relegate it to, oh, we happen to be there, you know, I saw that thing, and make the decision. I don't feel like praying anymore, like that's the case. Because you relegate to what you saw, what? Right? You're so smart, what? Correct or not? This is truly the grace of God, because we pray and the Father answers our prayer. Then we are to stand firm that it's by God's grace that we receive answers to our prayer and testify of our great experience in His grace. And don't change your testimonies. Amen. Right? Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. First thing, you obtain mercy. Without God's mercy, you long ago probably wiped out by the devil. Obtain mercy and find grace to help. Help what? Help you to pray. Help you to make the decision. Help you to go on in life. He help you. The grace of God help you. But when we pray, we come before the throne of grace. We receive mercy. We receive grace to pray. To help us to pray. And after you receive answers to your prayer, don't relegate it to some other decision of yours because, oh, I happen to be there, you know. Or whatever, you know. You want to hear a testimony? Let me share a testimony to testify of the Father's grace. Someone worked in a foreign companies for more than 10 years in a specific industry. Now, I'm talking about a specific industry. Right? 10 years. Now, for example, microchip industry is a specific industry. So for more than 10 years, he prayed with this church. The church has been praying with him, been praying like, as far as I can remember. This guy, he prays with. But he also used his mind a lot. He prays. And in the foreign company he's been working, you know, it was God, right? It was God that he worked in this foreign company for so many years. He had never worked in local companies before. And I told him one day, you know, because I've read it in the papers, not one time, a couple of times, I said, now this is pertaining to this specific industry, and I told him this, you should go and work for a local company. And I told him specifically which local company is a big one. And today he's working for that local company. So when I suggested to him, if it is a word from the Lord, then it was a grace from God to influence him. He wasn't fully convinced. At first he wasn't convinced. And if that word I've spoken is from the Lord, and I told him specifically which company, you know, is from the Lord, then it is an influencing force that has an influence on him to make a decision to work for this company now. Right? Of course, if it is the grace of God to influence you, you will benefit. Right or not? Right? 1.5 years in the local company. Before Chinese New Year, his boss came all the way down, gave him a letter, bonus letter. When the boss handed in the bonus, told him something. He said, you just be patient. There's something coming up. I cannot tell you what it is. In 1 year, 1.5 years' time, there's something for you. I say it's a promotion. He said, yeah. After 1.5 years, the boss gave him the bonus and told him there's something coming up. He could have said, yeah la, because somebody got fired, that's why I got an opportunity. Or, well, somebody's dying. Or what's the other option I was thinking? Somebody retiring. Relegated to natural law. Let me tell you something else. Okay? When he went up after Chinese New Year, you know what the boss said to him? Remember what I say to you. That means reminding him what I told you when I hand you the bonus letter. What I told you is happening. There's something coming up for you. So what? You're going to relegate it to? You know, because I worked so hard. Huh? What am I testifying? To the grace of God? Right? To me, it's a grace. I mean, all these years we've been praying, man. Huh? And don't tell me there's no fruit in our prayer. Amen, because I know where my blessing comes from. You never slaughter a goose that lays the golden egg. Heavenly Father, bless me. Correct? No? Huh? That's one thing you don't slaughter. You know, you don't testify His grace. You relegate it to, oh my this, my that. You're slaughtering the golden goose, okay? You understand? No? Praise the Lord. So, the Lord, his boss told him, 1 year to 1.5, something is coming up. And reminded him some more. Remember what I say to you. Oh. Did he work hard? Yes. So is it going to be by his, because he worked hard? He worked hard by the grace of God. He achieved what he achieved by the grace of God. He depended on the grace of God. Amen. Remember another story? More than 10 years we prayed. He had a vision, three-part key. I interpreted first company, second company. And this person is in the third company. I said, at that time, he was only in the first company. And there's a door there. Thomas happened to just draw a key and this. Thomas got a vision of a key. La. Where do you think that came from? Right? Through prayer, by the grace of God, the Father revealed the vision of that mystery. Initially, it's an incomplete mystery because we did not understand of the vision until it was interpreted. I said, refers to three companies. The vision was a gift of grace, charisma, that came through prayer. For the church and him to stand firm in this grace, we have to continue to pray till he step into the second, third part of the key, and till he enters into the huge door in front of that key. And the door is not fulfilled yet. I ask him, is the door open? He said, no, not yet. But he's in the third. And this is more than 10 years ago. He had a vision. And just now, the story about more than 10 years, he worked in a foreign company. What it tells me, prayer for your life concerning your future is progressive. Amen. Means what? You are in here, Lord. We continue to pray, Lord. Because it's progressive, we have to continue. That's what I'm doing. Call to pray. I went to Rhema. God said, you start a praying church. Amen. When I pray, I get results, okay? Amen. Then we ought to stand firm in our grace, in the grace, in His grace. Right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. What you are experiencing truly is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. How do we stand firm in the grace of the Father? When the Heavenly Father gives you grace to do something, to stand firm in that grace is to continue doing it. Right? When God sends you to school, your primary focus is get the degree. Don't like, give me anything else. I want to go Bible school? No. You get your degree first. Right? You do. That's your primary objective. Get your degree. Talk later. Right now, when I was in university, the devil bombarded me. Well, God wants you to quit university, go into Bible school. Wow, man. I was a young Christian. Then I was struggling. Oh, thank God. God spoke. No. He said, you don't finish your study, you don't get a degree, your parents are going to get upset. Oh my God, I cannot. Oh man, cannot. At that time, of course, my mother sent me money. My father wasn't even alive. And that, see, God, and you know what, devil bombarded me? So, seems like as if he knows that I got a calling, right? The Bible school I went to, they refused to allow their children to go into Bible school. Rhema, they're the one who started Rhema. They refused to allow their children to go to Rhema. He said, you finish your degree first, then we talk about going to Bible school. Right? So it's the same. So in the midst of challenges, you do not give up, because the moment you give up His grace. And you no longer partake of His grace for doing what He has planned for you to do. People pray for jobs, opportunities, and the Father opened the door for them. 6 months, they quit. They don't pray and ask God, you know. You know why? This person can stay in a foreign company for so many years. He wanted to quit. He said, Pastor, do you pray? Yeah. I said, what did God say? Nothing. So what are you going to do? He said, yeah, stay long. Yeah. He stayed more than 10 years in all the foreign companies in that specific industry. You know, when I teach, then it's easy for me to counsel. Pastor, I cannot take it. I'm very simple. I cannot take it. I said, did God give me? What, Pastor? God give me this job. What? I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed, man. Then you want to quit. Then I ask him the same question. Huh? Did God tell you to quit? No. Then what are you supposed to do? I taught you already. You want the will of God. You stay in the will of God. You do the will of God. You continue in the will of God. You don't quit the will of God. Right or not? So it's very simple. Then my counseling don't take more than, don't take long. I says, so what are you going to do? God give you a job? You quit? Huh? Did God say quit? No, then hang in there. He hang in there, man. He hang in there. And now God quicken it, double quick time. God always make it up, okay? You think you're shortchanged, God will make it up. Right now. If I depend on His grace, I do it by His grace. Don't have grace, don't do love. No money, don't go mission. No money, don't train the student. Not. I refuse to buy a building and press you for offering. But if God speaks to me, I have to obey. If not, I refuse to do it. If the church got no money, don't buy. Continue rent, what's the problem? Right? Yeah, I think that your money, take care of your family first. Right? Okay, very simple. Our Father don't provide. If I truly, I'm going to prove one thing. I want to prove it's by the grace of God. Totally depend on His grace. I do it by His grace. We can achieve what we achieve by His grace. Totally, I want to prove it. It's completely by His grace. So I refuse to buy, refuse to spend anything if the church doesn't have the money. Right? But if God, now there's a qualifier. If God speaks to me, then don't worry, you know. He'll bless you too. Right? So, first thing, take care of family. Make sure your family, your children are taken care of. God will take care of His missionaries. Okay? The Chinese are paying for themselves to come to school. I bring them here, train them, send them back. They know the culture, they know the language, they know their own people, they know anything better than me. Send them back. Correct? Huh? You just make your money and then put your tithes and offering. We will have enough to do what God wants us to do. If God wants to do more, then He has to increase your income, increase your business, increase whatever. Very simple, correct? Simple economics, right? Don't worry, no stress. Amen? No money, don't do. No money means no grace, correct? If the grace is there, the resources will be there. Amen? We are in the era of the word of faith and the grace revolution, not in the charismatic. We are out of the charismatic. Amen? Right? But my God, you know, but of course, you know, I talk like that because you have to have faith and know how to believe God and know how to use the authority for the finances. Amen. I always look to God and He always provides. Before you, He provided. When you are here, He provided. After you, He still provides. Thank you, Jesus. So in the midst of challenges, do not give up, because the moment you give up His grace, no longer partake of His grace for doing what He plans for you to do. People pray for a job, right? We talk about that. If they continue in their job and persevere and persist in hardship, they are working hard, enduring hardship by the grace of God. They are standing firm in God's grace. Amen. Amen. You study hard. Nothing else. Right? You go in the army, you fight hard. He gives you the grace too. You're going to the army too, brother? You just do. Don't king. Okay? You think I've forgotten all those terms? Okay. Amen. Be on the ball. You know, you serve in the military or any police armed forces, they always look for initiatives, right? I just tell you first. You better develop initiatives, okay? More. So we pray much for the youth and the young. I mean, the Heavenly Father opened the door for you to study. When you study hard and get a degree, then you are studying by the grace of God. The way you are standing firm in that, when you're studying hard, you're standing firm in that grace, right? So, in conclusion, stand firm in God's grace and testify of His grace. Amen. And we testify of His grace to stand firm in His grace. Amen. Paul said, I depend on His grace. I work harder than all of them by His grace. I am what I am. In other words, paraphrase, I achieve what I achieve and done what I've done, fulfill what the Lord has for me to do by the grace of God. Amen. Pastor, do you fulfill? If I know what's the plan of God for me, when I fulfill His plan, fulfill His will, I fulfill. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.